This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's me, Roz Dresvales. You guys, I'm just like on cloud nine right now because I just did an interview with Margaret Cho, the Margaret Cho, which is also the name of her podcast, The Margaret Cho. And Margaret is somebody that I don't know very well, weirdly. And I would love to know her even better. And she is truly somebody that makes me starstruck and is so important to me. And honestly, when I was like 16 years old and I met my first queer person, my friend Jeff, he was like, okay, first order of business, Margaret Cho. And so we watched her specials and I learned so much about queer culture. And she's just been such a huge part of my development as an adult and as a stand-up comedian. And we've always wanted her to be a guest on the show because she's also been on my favorite TV show of all time, Celebrity Ghost Stories. So we had a lot to talk about, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I do want to tell you that there's still a few tickets left for the live show that's happening in Los Angeles that is coming up real soon. It is this upcoming Tuesday, which is the 21st of January, at Casita del Campo, which is the Cavern Club Theater, Celebrity Theater even, and it's in the basement of Casita del Campo. We did a live show there already. You guys, I am pleased to announce, in case you have not seen on social media, the one and only Elena Servidio Schwinn will be in the basement the 21st of January. Now, if you don't know who that is, go back and listen to our episode with her. She is truly our breakout star, our ghosted darling. She is incredible. But it's going to be really fun to have her down there as well to see if maybe something will happen with her. Who knows? And of course, Alessandra Torresani will also be there, who is just truly, she's a gem of a person. And she told us some incredible ghost stories just a few weeks ago on this show. And she told me she has even more. So I can't wait to see what's going to go down with that. You can get those tickets on the Cavern Club Theater .com, or you can just go to my Instagram and there's a link in the bio. It's cavernclubtheater.com. You can get your tickets to the show. I've actually been working there the past few weeks because I've been doing just a little tiny cameos on Golden Girls Live, which is a super fun drag show with my drag family and former podcast guests, Sam Pancake, Drew Drogi, Jackie Beat, and my drag mother Sherry Vine, with special guest Alaska Thunderfuck. And I can't say that we've had a whole lot of paranormal activity. However, the other day I was sitting on stage with Jackie and my new boyfriend. His name's Beau. And we were sitting on stage, and there was a breeze that went by very mysteriously. And Margaret has been down there, and Margaret had a little bit of a seance down there, and we will be talking about that in the interview. And she also says that they experienced a little breeze down there, which doesn't really seem possible in a basement. Mysterious. Well, let's just get on with the show. Here she is, Margaret Cho. That rhymed. You guys, this is one of the biggest days, honestly, of my life.
Oh.
Margaret, this... I've been doing stand-up since 2012. Ooh. You're the only person I've ever paid to see stand-up.
That's great.
Which is like...
I love it.
I mean, You are such an inspiration to me. Like, ooh. I'm not even kidding you. I'm kind of a little nervous.
I'm honored. That's wonderful.
And I've met you many times, and we have 1,000 mutual friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know you're a chill girl. Like, you're a down,
yes.
Like,
yes.
You are one of my kind of people.
Yes.
And it's just an honor. So
thank you
for taking the time to
of
be
course.
Here.
Of course. Thank you.
Because you're also somebody that I know has had many ghost experiences.
That's right.
Honestly, since the beginning of the show, people have been like, who do you want to be on the show? And I'm like, Margaret Cho.
Oh.
Celebrity Ghost Stories,
amazing.
My favorite TV show
I
ever.
I love it. It's so good. I love it.
So let's just talk about ghosts.
Okay.
When did you first have an experience?
Well, I'm Korean, so like the thing about Koreans is there's a lot of ancestor worship.
Yeah.
And like if you don't do that, then your ancestors will haunt you. And I think that it's like kind of true in Asia. There's a lot of like ghost realness. Like people are like, oh yeah, there's ghosts. Like it's not even like scary. It's just like this normal thing, like, oh, we didn't pay attention to our ancestors and now they're haunting us. Or like after the tsunami in Japan, there was a lot of people who were like, I see my dead neighbors in the puddles outside. Or like the cab drivers kept picking up like earthquake ghosts. Like it's like,
oh my God.
Like this very normal thing.
I think I heard about that. Like,
yeah,
cab drivers in the car, you look back, there's no one there.
Right.
Yeah.
So in a lot of Asian cultures, ghosts are like pretty natural. And like my mom would always see them. And one time... it was in 1978, and this was after the People's Temple tragedy in Guyana, where 900-something people died from drinking the Flavor Aid with
right.
Jim Jones.
Yes.
And so my parents had rented the vacant People's Temple in San Francisco for a party. And so my mom was like, well, it's okay. It's going to be fine. And then... We're at the party, and my mom kept seeing all of the ghosts of the people, like, pissed.
Stop.
That she was, like, serving food and having this party, and then she was like, well, I made a mistake. Like, she shouldn't have had the party there. But it was, like, this thing of she was just naturally like, oh, yeah, I see the many ghosts there, no, they didn't like it. So, like, it was, like, very matter-of-fact to
see. But not scary.
No, it was just, like, basically, she's like, I made a mistake. I had a party there and these ghosts were mad. It was like neighbors.
Got it.
Like, I threw a party and the neighbors were angry. And that sort of attitude kind of bled into like my feeling about ghosts is that, oh, well, they're just there and you might make them angry sometimes. And just like your neighbors, you kind of try to make nice with them. Because you have to live there.
Sure. You have to share the space.
Yeah. So the house that I live in now is haunted. I know that when I first moved in, there was a couple of things. There was a dog that had lived in the house, and the dog died the day it left, and the dog was 21 years old. And I would see the dog outside in where it used to sit right outside the window of the backyard. So I've seen it, and then... It's not scary. It's just the ghost loves that house and loves that little area. And
but just the dog, no other.
There's the dog, and then there's supposedly there's another psychic woman came over to feng shui the place, and she said that there is a woman spirit there who lives there. But I haven't seen her. I know that she's there. I can kind of feel a presence in the house. It's an old house, so there's something kind of. There's something kind of creaky and noisy about it. And then once in a while, there's some activity like, I remember I used to be married and my husband and I got in a huge argument and then he actually ended up leaving. And then that entire night, the house was like shaking, lights were turning on and off.
Oh my
there was
God.
A lot of like paranormal activity because the house was disrupted by our fight. So it's like neighbors.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's interesting because, I mean, when I was watching the TV show The Haunting of mm-hmm. Margaret Cho, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. where you're with psychic medium Kim Russo, who's
yes.
iconic.
Yeah, she's so iconic.
I love her.
She's fabulous.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And she was talking about your big ghost story
right.
that I want to talk about. But mm-hmm. what she was explaining was the poltergeist activity sort of feeding off of your energy.
Right.
Is that sort of what you think it was? It was
yeah.
It was set off by your energy in this
yeah.
house?
I think that, you know, it does feed off of aggression. You know, I only notice it when I've had an argument or there's some kind of problem, you
wow.
know, and then there's a lot of aggression and anger.
Uh-huh.
And that seems to wake up activity in my house. Like if I'm having a fight. Now I live alone, well, with my dog. So I don't really sense any kind of disruptions. I live in a kind of a very peaceful like time in my life.
Uh-huh.
So there's not a lot of activity. You know, I don't sense it. But sometimes like my dog will be like barking at something that I can't see or hear. And that's always like, I wonder if that's the actual ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's a lady. I've been told it's a lady, that she lives there and I never see her. It's like a roommate that you never see that works all the time. Sometimes I hear little
sure.
like walking around the house, but nothing crazy. When I first moved in like 1999, the house was, there was no electricity and there was no furniture. So I remember like sleeping on the floor with my other big dog and I looked outside and I could see these like white figures moving throughout the backyard, but it was really hard to make out. And so it seemed like there was something happening that was like sort of appearing visually, but I couldn't really tell. Every once in a while, I'll have like an experience where I'll see something and then I'm like, is that my eyes playing tricks on me or is that something there?
Interesting. But has the dog moved on, do you think?
Or the dog spirit, her name was Tyler. She was like a setter basset hound mix. So she's, I think she's there still somewhere. So, and also the other dog that was there with me when I first moved in, he used to put his snout up girls' butt in the shower. Like he loved to put his snout up a girl's butt. And so he had died a couple of days before my friend came over and was staying with me. And she took a shower downstairs and she was like, oh, my God, your dog put his snout up my butt again. And I'm like, oh, no, he died. And it was so weird.
Oh, no.
She was like, no, he's downstairs. He put his snout up my butt. And it was like, it was a funny thing. Like, oh, OK, he's still here, too.
Oh, so, my God. That's kind of creepy.
It's funny.
It's funny.
It's super weird. But it's also kind of like, well, I could see how the energy of him would stay around. He was a very big spirit.
Yeah.
And so maybe what we're seeing or witnessing isn't exactly like ghosts, but like residual energy from
uh-huh.
their life.
Sort
maybe?
Of an imprint on the house or, yeah, that energy, that excitement, that dog. That, I mean, because when you think about energy, dogs are full of it. So where
right.
does it go? It has to go somewhere.
Yeah, and maybe it's like, or the energy of like, the dog really wants to put his nose up this girl's butt, but it's kind of like, I'm going to break through the impermeable veil of life and death and stick my nose up her butt. You know, it's like a very interesting thing of like, well, that's what you came to this world to do, is stick your nose up a girl's butt. But maybe.
I guess so.
Sometimes, you know, you have to.
We all have our purpose.
I know.
Okay, can we talk about this celebrity ghost story?
Yes.
Which, I mean, at this point, it was like 10 years ago.
Right.
So sorry to dig up old.
No, it's good.
But it's a good one.
It's a crazy one. So I was living in this house in Peachtree City, which is a suburb of Atlanta. And it was a big house. It was like 3 bedrooms and it was like kind of like a McMansion, very, very large and very empty. And I was staying there because I was shooting the show there. And
it was
Drop Dead Diva.
Drop Dead Diva, yes.
Yeah. So, which is interesting because the show is all about ghosts and past lives and new lives and reliving lives. And so there's a lot of ghost energy in that show. But I was staying there and like there was so much paranormal activity. Like it was so loud and like crazy that I would actually try to drown it out by playing music. And I had a lot of guitars there. And so I'd play music. I would like try to listen to things with headphones because I just was trying to shut out the energy. And I would talk to the ghosts there, like, because it was more than one, it felt like. And I would talk to them and say, look, I have to live here too. So I'm fine with you being here, but just please try not to scare me because that's really rough.
Yeah.
And I would just try to make peace with them. And it was kind of okay for a while. I just had to sort of deal with the presence of something. But then one time I remember laying in bed and something getting in behind me. And that's like the grudge.
Wait. Hold up. So how did it start? So you, when you first come in, do you consider yourself like sensitive or?
Yeah. I mean, I'm aware of a feeling of like whether it's like a coldness in a room or a sense of like there's some energy there that I know exists. And I think that it's like, I'll feel it. You know, every once in a while, like I'm staying at a hotel and I'll feel something or I'll dream something and then it feels very real to me. But in this place, it was kind of like, oh, I know something's up with this house. There's something weird about it, but I don't mind, actually. I don't really care. I need to live here. I don't want to move. I'm like really close to set.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, this is a really practical place for me to live. And
had you talked to whoever owned the place or whoever you were renting it from?
No, they were in Europe, I guess. I never really found out the story of who these people were who actually owned the house.
Interesting.
But it, like the when I was in bed, something got in with me. And I was like, because I could feel the bed like sink down, like with somebody in the bed. And I'm like, oh, no.
And you were not facing.
I wasn't facing. My back was to the whatever was behind me. It was a big king size bed. And I could feel like somebody get in the bed, like flip up the blanket and get in.
Now, does that scare you?
That scared me.
Okay.
Because it was like physical presence. It was not temperature related. It was not a sound. It was like the weight of a body on the bed next to me. I mean, it could have been a person. Like, I don't know.
Does that ever cross your mind? Are you in that moment like, is this an intruder?
Yeah.
Or are you like, this is a ghost?
But it was so quiet that it was like, I don't think it's an intruder because I didn't hear the steps coming up to the, you know, and I was awake. At least I thought I was awake. But it was like the bed sinking down. And I was so terrified that I couldn't even move until the sun came up. And finally, I turned around and there was nothing there.
You know? You stayed up the whole night.
I just stayed up. Like, I was so petrified. And then another time I got in the bed again and then the bed lifted up and then slammed
down.
That
part, okay. You're sleeping and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I'm in the air.
Yeah, but just for like a split second, like the bed like just lifted up. Like if somebody had picked it up and then slammed it back down. Like
that
was the sense of like, you know, like it just off of the ground and slammed down.
Yeah.
And then again, like it's like maybe I dreamed that, but it felt so real in the moment that it was like, I got to get out of here. And so I called the realtor to make arrangements to leave. And then as I was doing that, the garbage disposal started to run without me turning it on. It just started running. And then the oven started beeping. And I'm like, what is that? And then I'm on the phone like saying, I got to get out of here. And it's just like all this sound like erupting from the kitchen. So I'm still on the phone with her. And I like ran down to the kitchen and I went to the fuse box and I turned off all of the electricity in the house. And it was still going.
That is so crazy.
It was
crazy.
Super weird. And then I'm like, you know what? No.
But the realtor didn't have anything to say about this?
Well, the realtor was like, look, the owner said, that's fine. They'll let you out of the lease. It's totally fine.
They've probably been through this a million times.
Yeah, they're like, you can just go. Just go. They're like, just go. Just go. And then I talked to another one of the actors on the show, this guy, very big, you know, strong man. He's like, I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Like, you know, so he took over the lease for me because he wanted to live there. So the first night he spent there, he walked outside and the door slammed and locked and deadbolted and he couldn't get back in. And he's like, I'm not going back to the house.
Oh, my God.
So then a week later, I came back and I went up to the front door and the front door, there was a rabbit dead. Just laying like spread out on the sort of the doormat.
What do you think that's all about?
I don't know. That was really strange. Like that was like, maybe it got hit by a car, but then why would it get thrown all the way to the doormat? Or maybe it's just kids or whatever. You know, it was really.
Either way, that's fucked up energy in
the
neighborhood.
Super weird.
Oh,
it was
my God.
Super weird.
So when you ended up leaving there, was it because you were wrapped and you didn't need it anymore?
No, or? I left because I was just like, I'm not going to stay in this house anymore. Like, I was like, I can't sleep.
Yeah.
I'm really rattled by this house and I'm not doing this. And so I just moved. But, you know, the way that the realtor explained, she said that, and this is hard for me to sort of think about, but I kind of don't buy it. But she said that the house is on the McIntosh Trail, which is also known as the Trail of Tears.
Yeah.
So that there is a lot of residual painful energy because uh-huh. of the procession of Indigenous Americans who died on that trail, you know, being forced from their home. And so to me, that anytime anybody says, oh, it's like the Indian burial ground, I think that's kind of a racist thing to sort
yeah.
of like talk about, like the weird mystery of Indigenous cultures and how they're like witchcraft. And I'm like, I wasn't buying that. Like, I'm like, I don't know. But that seems like that's the sort of the explanation that she had given me. And then Kim Russo said that there was a hell mouth that had opened from these kids in the neighborhood that were doing animal sacrifices and calling Satan in the 80s, and that it's still there. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I buy that a little bit more.
Sure. That's what Kim Russo said.
I know. That's kind of a cute explanation. So I was like, all right, it's a hell mouth. So I went back for the haunting of, and they the house has been now, was in this, the family, the Christian family lived there. And they were like, oh, nothing's going on. It's all fine. But when I went in the house, there was like a breathing apparatus between every bed had some kind of like oxygen tank. And also the marble counter had broken in half, like the kitchen counter had broken in half simultaneously for no reason, just spontaneously, not simultaneously. And then also simultaneously, the bathtub upstairs, which is like a jacuzzi tub, had also broken in half.
Wait, this was happening when you were there?
No, it happened after I'd left.
Oh, okay.
And then I came back to the house and I saw that, they all had oxygen machines by their beds. So they're all sick. They all had, they had the spontaneous breakage of a marble countertop and a bathtub, both splitting in half.
That's denial.
Isn't that weird?
There's some ghosts still there.
Some hellmouth that got opened by some satanic children.
Some satanic rabbit sacrifice.
Children.
So when you see yourself on Celebrity Ghost Stories, if you can remember back when this was on, how did you feel about the reenactment? That's my favorite question to ask people. Being reenacted seems hilarious
to
me.
It's so funny. It's so funny because I was like, that girl don't look like me. But I was like...
There's always a lot of wiggotry going on.
They throw
some kind of wig on that sort of looks like you, but not really.
I'm like, she has pigtails. I don't think so. Like, it was like, that's
did.
Not that
I
cute.
I feel like she had really long hair.
She had really long hair that was like in like ponytails, which I wouldn't do. I'm like, that's infantilism. Like, I was like, you're trying to make me so childish. But it was really funny because it was like, oh, I can see why they were sort of putting her in like sort of hippie clothes and she's like playing guitar, which I was trying to do. I was playing instruments in order to try to soothe something. Sometimes I think like when you play music, there's something about the vibration that's soothing. And then I had a guitar that was 100 years old. So that was like,
oh, wow.
I was like, okay, well, if I play this guitar, maybe this will be soothing for whoever's here.
Sure.
But it was more than that. It was kind of just more of an erratic energy, more of a sharp kind of shocking kind of thing that like kind of really wanted to scare me. So I do think it was like more poltergeisty than ghosty.
So you should have played like 80s satanic metal.
Right. Because
that
would have been better. I think that would have helped. But it's like I think it's just a funny thing too, like when people say like satanic, I don't know if I believe in like satanic things either. To me it's just kind of like the making something that you don't understand evil, like teenage angst, like
right.
rock and roll, you know?
Yeah, see, I don't know what I believe either. It's really confusing. Cause I grew up Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and so it was a lot of devil and God, and I don't really know that I believe in the Christian Catholic belief of God. And so
right.
if I don't, then that means I probably shouldn't be able to believe in a demon or right. a devil, but mm-hmm. then what is that? I mean,
yeah.
there seems to be dark forces in this world.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, what is dark forces is just what we don't know or yeah. what we don't understand or aggression, which I think is dark with anybody, or that the devil really is our side of our personality that's really selfish and self-serving, which is what Satanism was all about. Satanism is not about worshiping Satan as much as it is about worshiping yourself and worshiping your own needs above others, which I think is like, well, the Christian belief is we should put other people before us. But in Satanism, it's really, as far as I understand it, it's like, let's put ourselves first, which I think is actually kind of good in a lot of ways.
Did you see Hail Satan, the documentary?
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, you should watch it.
Yeah.
It came out. It's more, it's about, oh, I get them confused because there's the Satanic Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Church of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the Anton LaVey, San Francisco,
right.
like that situation, which I think is more about worshiping like the devil and that sort of
mm-hmm.
a little bit. But this, in this documentary, it's actually kind of punk. They're very mm-hmm. just anti-religion
yeah.
and Christianity, you know, kind of forcing itself on America. And
right.
It's a good documentary. You should check it out.
I mean, I agree with them. I think that what I love about Satanism is that it tries to acknowledge, have the government acknowledge them like a church and have them tax-free and let us put our monuments up just like you forced Christianity on us. I think that's really right and it's really fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like Anton LaVey, too, because it's so 60s. It's so San Francisco.
Totally.
He had a cougar. Like, he had, like...
And all the Jane Mansfield of it
I
all.
Love it.
I love that.
I love it. It's so chic in San Francisco, and it's very 60s. And, you know, he was just... a kind of a showman. Like, he just liked the idea of being a provoke society, provoke what we sort of think about as our morals. And I like that a lot.
When did he die?
I think he died in like the 90s.
So was he ever around when you were in San Francisco?
No. Well, he was, but I never got to meet him. I know his son.
Uh-huh.
I one time went to a show where the only people there were me and his son. And
oh.
It was for
you were performing?
No. We were going to see another band, but it was funny because it was like we were the only audience members. But it was fun. It was a fun show, and he's very. He looks like Anton LaVey. He's got like the shaved head, and he's very much like the image of his father.
And does he still keep the family business alive?
I think so. I think that it's still, you know, kind of, it is like a family business, and it is kind of, there's two factions though. There's like him, and then there's the Temple of Set, which is also San Francisco based, and it's like a satanic, kind of more of an order, but it's more like kind of combining all of these religions like Zoroastrianism and like all of the sort of satanic things and like a sort of pagan beliefs. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of crossover.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love that. It's the thought of it being sort of a mom and pop business.
It is. It is like a family business. And it is also, it's just, I like the way like satanic stuff looks. Like, I like black metal, like Norwegian black metal, and
uh-huh.
I like the idea of like heavy metal, and like I like the way it sounds. I like the way the imagery, the makeup. It's cute.
Yeah, I'm very fascinated by it, and I think that it's very misunderstood, and I think that even practitioners or people that want to be a part of it misunderstand what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, or like, I think a lot of people murder people in the name of the satanic church or whatever. You know, over the years, there's been these people where I'm
right.
like, I don't necessarily know that that's what they were going
I don't
for.
Think so. Like, like Richard Ramirez. Like,
exactly.
He wants you to say you love Satan. And I don't think that that's actually the right interpretation of what Satan wants. I think Satan wants you to be like, you know, he wants you to take care of business. He wants to take care of you and put you first. Satan is like, it's kind of a symbol for like self, like self-determination, or where you're like the most important part of the
mm-hmm.
the world. And so, you know, I think that there's something really important in that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, this is a story that's come up twice on the show. Selena Luna's bachelorette party at Casita del Campo.
Right.
Which is sort of a home away from home for me. And it's where I'm doing my second live show on the 21st of January. And we're going to have another psychic down there and we're going to see what happens. But there was a seance that Selena did, which I love for her bachelorette party. And you were there.
Yes.
Did you experience any paranormal activity?
Yeah, I think that we really felt it. Like, we felt, like, the chill in the air. It was more temperature and more like a breeze coming through, which is impossible to feel a breeze down there because it's underground.
Where would it come from?
It was weird. There's no windows. So there was a weird sense of, like, movement in the air and a cold energy inside. And, you know, the legacy of the place is that it's the busboy who was murdered there.
Yes. Well, I actually found an LA Times article that it was a burglar that came in and he had a gun, I believe, and he shot a server that was fine, that didn't die. But a couple of servers subdued the burglar, and by the time the cops came, the burglar was dead. And
it was the burglar who died.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that it was, and I guess that it was like, you could see why that would leave an imprint, because if it's like somebody who's coming in to rob the place, there's already the aggressive act of that, and then getting, you know, killed doing it, there's a lot of imprint in the air, I think.
So Lenny said that they asked him what he wanted and he said, Margarita. So that's what she heard on like some kind of voice box machine situation.
Yeah, the EVPs. I love the EVPs. It's a very, to me, that's like the most scary thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you ever heard a ghost speak?
I mean, I've heard it like, bang things and rattle. Not so many voices. I've seen things more than heard them. And then the things that I've heard haven't been voices. That's just like more like the clatter of like whatever it is. Or like I have these old Moroccan like metal lanterns that will shake. So that's
it. So it seems to be a lot of poltergeist activity around you.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if that... I don't even know that that's necessarily connected to a, like, if that ever was a spirit to begin with. Like, it's sort of an energy.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe you wouldn't hear so many voices.
Yeah, it's never, like, attached to the person. The one time I did hear a voice was driving. I used to live in Beechwood Canyon, and there is a tunnel under the canyon that you can... access one point of it on this one little hill that kind of goes sort of under Gower. So I was driving on that street with my friend, and it was the middle of the night. We were looking for the access point of the tunnel. And we stopped, and we looked to the left, and there was a statue there that looked like we didn't know where it came from, but it was like a statue of a Virgin Mary that was just there. And then we both looked at it, and he was driving. We both looked at it through his side window. And then I heard a woman scream. And I screamed. And then I was yelling at my friend. I'm like, why did you scream? Why did you scream? And he's like, I didn't scream. And it was like a scream from like, I don't even know where it was from. But it was the weirdest thing. So don't go looking for that tunnel under Beechwood Canyon.
No, you never want to hear a scream out in the canyon.
No, it was really scary.
Do you want to hear some ghost voices?
Yes.
Okay. It's time for
EVPs
or EV please. Okay, so you already know about EVP. So here's what I do. Usually what happens is I'll just search for EVPs on YouTube. But I actually got an email from a listener that sent me some EVPs. So I want to listen to him because this listener, his name is Seth, and he is a psychic medium. Ooh. And he actually predicted the boyfriend I currently have. He sent me a message a couple months ago, and he was like, oh, he gave me this description. He's like, he's coming. He's going to be your boyfriend. And he's now my boyfriend.
I love it.
And all
it.
Of a sudden, he appeared out of nowhere.
That's great.
So thanks, Seth. You legit. I see you.
Okay,
Seth. So Seth, you could find Seth on whitelightparanormalinsight.com. and he... That group services Southwest Washington to Portland, Oregon, and surrounding areas, and their mission is to assist the living in recognizing and validating what may be paranormal activity, and to help find a resolution to the best of our ability. Whenever possible, we also strive to assist those entities that may be in turmoil or unrest. So I think that's a wonderful approach.
Yeah.
So here is from a paranormal investigation that they did at Kenton Station, which has a haunted basement in Portland, Oregon. What do you think they think this ghost is saying? Sounds like a little girl or something.
It sounds like a little It sounds like she's saying nobody passed away.
Nobody passed away. Here's some options.
Okay.
Is it A, I've never seen Castaway? Tom Hanks, maybe she's never seen it. B, she knows that I passed away. C, do you know who's casting this? Maybe it was like an actor. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very Hollywood.
Yeah,
not
that
very
is.
Portland.
Yeah.
Or D, is it just meh, 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 not really anything. I think it was pretty clear. The real answer is pretty close to what you said. It's she knows that I passed away.
Yeah. That's that. I mean, it's always scarier if it's a child.
I know. What is with that? What do you think?
Because it's when children die, it's the death of possibility. And I think that's the one thing for the human experience that's really hard to accept is when possibility is removed, because life for us is all about possibilities.
Sure.
So that...
It's all that potential is
now
lost.
Yeah, potential. Lost potential, which I think is the greatest tragedy of, if you sort of boil it down, that's always the greatest tragedy.
See, but to me that makes it sad. I don't know if the scariness to me is I think that they're just little and they're like...
It's like forever cursed and dunced in Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah. Well, and also I think their innocence is like, you know, they say if you see a baby rattlesnake, like that's more dangerous
right.
because they'll just strike you.
Right.
They don't know any better.
Exactly.
It's almost like that maybe with a child ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I don't think that they know that them being see-through and going la, 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 like
yeah.
that's terrifying. It's
so
not
super
cute.
Scary. Yeah, it's not cute. It's like really scary. But it's like kind of like this thing of like also, it, you know, it's just kids are creepy.
They
alive
are.
Alive or dead, they're freaking scary.
That's what it always comes down to for me. Like if you're creepy on Earth when you're dead, that's even like if someone crawls into your bed and you're not expecting them,
right?
I don't care if you're alive or dead,
it's creepy. It's fucked up. No, but like that's really like the Grudge too. Like the Grudge is like that little boy.
There's a new Grudge out in theaters.
Ooh.
Grudge 3.
It's so scary. When that first came out, like all the J-horror really gets me in a really like a place where I'm really unprotected and that like soft underbelly.
Yeah.
J-horror is like to me like the scariest stuff.
Wait, that actually kind of reminds me. Do you know Kim Chi? You know Kim Chi,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, she's a good friend of mine. And she was on here and we just spent the hour talking about Korean creepy folklore.
Right.
Do you know much about like... if you see a woman with a red surgical mask and if she takes it off, I think her face is like
she doesn't have like it's like a smile that's all the way across. Yeah, that's like a thing. Also, there's I think it's a bathroom ghost. Like if you're like in the bathroom and you're on the toilet and there's like a ghost that'll come, like don't talk to it.
Don't talk to it. Just ignore it.
Just be on the toilet
just
and don't
do your business.
But that's what my dad when he was a little boy. He was digging an outhouse with his brothers, and they found a dead body. They found a skeleton of a soldier who had deserted. So they would like do stuff with the skeleton to scare like the other people.
They would
the
just
family.
Say, it's now it's just a toy of
now
theirs.
Now it's just like fun.
Finders keepers.
I mean, that's just like that's like so goth.
That's
they were like actually
they're pre-goth.
They were like so pre-goth. They were like using the body to like scare their sisters.
Amazing.
When the sisters would go use the bathroom.
Oh my god.
It's so crazy.
You have a cool pre-goth dad. But see, that those stories of like the bathroom ghost and the lady with the mask, like those are kind of just like folklore, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Because that's what we talked about, that like how many people actually have reported it, but I guess they would be dead. Who knows? Maybe that person that was on the toilet that became a skeleton.
Yeah.
There was a toilet ghost.
Who knows?
And that's how they became a skeleton.
Right.
Okay. Here's one more EVP or EV, please. This is from the same haunted place. Maybe it's the same ghost.
Right. It sounds similar.
This ghost is booked and blessed. She is getting busy.
I can't make it out.
I know. Here, I'll give you some options.
Okay.
Is it A, it's fucking tight in here? B, let's get it started in here. Maybe it was a Black Eyed Peas fan. Remember that song? Let's get it started. C, this stuff is right. Or D, I think that's Titus Burgess. I think that's Titus Burgess.
I think that's Titus Burgess.
Wait.
Let's just say I think it's Titus Burgess. I like that.
It's they believe it says it's fucking tight in here.
Well,
I don't know what exactly she's referring to.
That's like in San Francisco, there was this house that it's like old Victorian that they were remodeling, and they found the coffin of a little girl and that had died, I guess, in the Victorian era, and she was perfectly preserved, like no decay at all.
Oh my God.
She looked like really pretty.
Wait, does that happen?
I don't know. But that's also like a weird thing, too, when there's like an incorruptible body, like when they're like perfectly preserved.
Wow.
That's super weird, too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, you were also on Hollywood Medium with Tyler Henry.
Yes. Yes.
And Robin Williams came through.
Right. Well, he had come through the wall because there was this thing. I had an old record of his. Reality, What a Concept, his LP. And then it was in another room on the wall. And Tyler, like, was pointing at the wall saying that he was there. But, you know, Tyler had never been in that room. So that was interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, like, a definite, like, you know, his spirit is, it feels palpable. Like, because he was such a great spirit in life.
Yeah.
That his energy would come through, I think.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel
him around?
I don't, but I think that, like, I think maybe in San Francisco when I go, because I remember places where I'd see him and he was around. I did an event with his family last year, and there was a sense of him,
yeah,
you know, in the room, and you know, we were talking all about that kind of stuff. So I feel that presence. There's another, my best friend for 40 years, her name is Jerry Lawler. Actually, Lucia, her middle name is Lawler. She is named after Jerry. Jerry died on January 28th of 2019. Oh. So I definitely feel her around, uh-huh, in a very strange, disruptive way that is hard, because it's like, okay, well, here's somebody that's like really close to me who's dead.
Uh-huh.
And I definitely feel like a sense of like, okay, there's something coming about this, like the energy around this that is going to manifest in something. And, you know, I don't feel like her spirit is at rest, because her death was pretty difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And also she was somebody who was so alive. So that's something that's hard.
Yeah. Sorry to bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's hard to think about, you know, like when you're really close to somebody who dies. This is the first person that I've been this close to.
Yeah.
Who's dead. And you know, it's something. It's quite jarring still.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's also my own grief and trying to put it to purpose somehow.
Totally. Yeah. No, I think that it's, I definitely have people like that in my life that I just know are with me.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in moments where, like, if I'm about to perform for some kind of scary show that's just a lot of people or some mm-hmm. kind of big deal or something, I always just kind of take a moment backstage and I feel them and I'm like, I feel good.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's very comforting.
It's very comforting. Mm-hmm. I think that it's something that can certainly be, a comfort. A good thing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
There's a good way to approach that.
Yes.
Hey, let's talk about what you got going on. You're touring?
Yeah, I'm always doing shows. I'm actually headed up to San Francisco to do Sketchfest.
Oh, fun.
So
yeah.
That's happening. And that's really cool. I'm going to do some music from I play with this band like once or twice a year, so I don't really do music very often these days, but this band is really special. They're called the Red Room Orchestra, so I'll be singing some David Lynch songs from David Lynch movies and also
Amazing.
From P.T. Anderson movies. So yeah, should be
and,
cool.
And your podcast, The Margaret Show,
The Margaret
I'm obsessed
Show?
With.
Yes.
So that's every, what is that?
It's every Tuesday. It comes out. It's on the Irios Network, but you can get it on anywhere you get podcasts. But yeah, we have lots of fun guests. You should come be on.
I would be honored.
It'd be great.
Well, what I like so much about it is that you have two people every episode, one person that everyone kind of knows, mm-hmm. and then someone that you're kind of introducing the world to, which
yes.
I love that
yeah.
you do that. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, it's great because I'm so lucky that I get to know so many talented people. So it's really nice to have that option, you know, to sort of introduce people's voices, which is great.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
This is a true honor. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
See, what did I tell you? Margaret Cho, I can't even believe it. I know. I kind of wasn't myself. I was that interview. I feel I'm a little self-conscious because I was like fangirly. My heart was pounding, which is just it's so weird because, again, she's just a cool, cool person. And so I'm just crazy. But, you know, it's fun to be a little starstruck sometimes. I will be doing some shows coming up that I'd like to tell you about. I'm going to be hosting Ross Matthews' Dragtastic Bubbly Brunch in West Hollywood at Rocco's on the 8th of February. I will also that night be doing my stand-up show with Sam Pancake at the world-famous Hollywood Improv. We took off January. We're coming back hot in February, and it will be at 9 p.m. That is the 8th of February. You can get your tickets on hollywood.improv.com. And, oh, even before then, this Sunday, which is the 19th, I'm going to be in Oxnard doing some Dragtastic Bubbly Brunch. And then, you know, the 21st, of course, you already know the live show is going to be happening. I also want to give a shout out to Jim Harold, who's just truly paranormal icon. He has been paranormal podcasting since the early days of podcasting, and he has many podcasts, but I was fortunate enough to be a guest on the Paranormal Podcast hosted by Jim Harold. So go give that a listen and subscribe to his show and support him because he is someone that's been doing this for a long time, and I have so much respect for him. And welcome to anyone that heard me on there. I welcome you. Okay, if you have a ghost story, here's what you do. Rate the podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. You can leave your ghost story there. Or you can go to our Facebook group, which is called Ghosted by Roz Dresfeles. You can also find me on Cameo, Roz Dresfeles, Instagram, Roz Dresfeles. I have a Facebook page, a Twitter. I'm everywhere. Roz Dresfeles. Guys, I love you all, both living and dead. But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.